Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. World Health Day is celebrated every year on April 7th. It's a day of global awareness in building a fairer, healthier world. And in this past year, more than a year has passed now since the world began its battle against COVID-19. And throughout the past year, we've had to rely a lot on journalism to make sense of it all, especially as the virus has spread, frequently outpaced our own abilities to comprehend and respond to the pandemic. So our guests tonight on the show, we have Azrul Muhammad Khalib. He is the Chief Executive of the Galen Center for Health and Social Policy, which is an independent policy research and advocacy organization. We also have Bu Su Lin, who is the editor-in-chief of Code Blue, which is a health news portal. Code Blue is a program under the Galen Center. So it's a pleasure to have you both. Thank you so much for being on the show. If I may begin with Azrul. To help us understand, Azrul, why Galen Center decided to set up Code Blue, why the need to set up a new media portal or new news portal as opposed to an existing media organization? Did you see a gap that needed to be filled?
Well, for one thing, Malaysia's health ecosystem today rivals that of more developed countries and is no longer what it was, two decades ago or even 5 years ago, even. And the needs are great. And one of the things that we need to be able to talk about, especially when it comes to these issues, is that it needs to be able to be populated by a diversity of opinion, vibrant discussions, and most importantly, debate on the issues and policies that are being put forward by policymakers, especially those of the government.
Okay.
We can't be in a situation where we're passive recipients of whatever policies that are being issued out by the different public or private entities.
Mm.
So in Malaysia, when we had a discussion about what kind of vacuum there was, the information vacuum is quite stark, where it is very much a situation of a top-down approach where people are expected to take in whatever has been already decided by the government, for example, the Ministry of Health, and to be able to accept it as gospel.
Mm.
And we lack the kind of discourse that you see in the UK, in the US, even Indonesia, where the discussion is a lot more vibrant on health, simply because they don't take health for granted.
Yeah, I want to, Sulin, if you could jump in here. You know, you're a journalist of many years. In fact, we once worked together many years ago. So I wonder, for you as a journalist, setting up a portal, but under an organization that has very strong positions in terms of advocacy, of policy and principles. Was that a difficult mix? Because journalists often don't work under specific advocacy parameters.
Yeah, that's a good question. When we, Azra and I, decided to set up Code Blue in 2019, so it was a very conscious decision that we made, looking at the dearth of news outfits or any media organizations looking specifically at healthcare issues, right? And because we wanted more critical thinking, and the countries that Azrul cited, these are countries where a lot of times healthcare is a political issue, it's an election issue. Mm-hmm. But in Malaysia, because healthcare is supposedly 1 ringgit, it's not 1 ringgit, like healthcare isn't that cheap here, it's subsidized greatly, but someone is paying for it. Mm-hmm. Taxpayers are paying for it. So if taxpayers are paying for it, then we should be able to demand for better healthcare and not just simply accept whatever we get. We shouldn't just be happy okay. with whatever health services we get or the quality of it. We should be able to demand for more because taxpayers are paying for these health services. So when we set up Code Blue, I wanted to provide a platform for people to talk about these issues. Mm-hmm. And it does tie with advocacy because I do think, though, Sharad, that the idea of journalism as being above it all or as being neutral per se, I don't think that works now. I don't think that works anymore. I mean, you see it here in Malaysia, you see it in the US or in the UK. A lot of different media outlets have their own bias and they're quite explicit about it. And it doesn't matter which is the government of the day. Like if it's the New York Times, you know they are a liberal newspaper and they're not going to change. It doesn't matter who is in power. in Malaysia, well, we've only had one change of government and we saw how media organizations changed after that. So when it comes to Code Blue, we advocate for healthcare. We are quite unapologetic about that because our tagline is health is a human right. But we are independent in the sense that we hold the government of the day, no matter who is the government, to account for all the health policies.
And you said that it was started up in 2019. So just before the pandemic hit, can you tell us, give us a sense of how much Code Blue has grown from the time that you set up in 2019 and this, you know, past year, which I think a lot of us, myself included, has gone to Code Blue to kind of help make sense of what's happened.
I mean, I had to say that you it was a lucky break. I mean, yeah. So many names have been now. I mean, we think of Ed Yong from The Atlantic, the Malaysian-born journalist, who's made a huge reputation from this pandemic. Mm. I mean, we don't want to be visited by more pandemics.
That was an opportunity in the crisis, and one that Code Blue seized did well in. So maybe you can tell us a bit about how much Code Blue has grown in the past year.
We started from nothing. We was just me alone for quite a long time. For several months in 2019, it was really just me writing the stories, doing the interviews, getting the pictures and putting it up. And then when we would get like a few dozen views a day, I would jump up and down and join, someone's actually reading us. and it's health, you know.
It's dedicated to health.
But you know, we were quite fortunate because we did have a few veteran physicians who believed in Code Blue right from the start. And I know at the beginning that some people were quite dismissive of Code Blue and they were saying, it's just a health blog. And it's quite funny because now those very same people who were dismissing us, now they ask us, can you please publish our op-eds?
But it's not just publishing the daily press conference, numbers, right, the daily caseloads. It's more than that. So maybe you can talk about the editorial direction of it.
Right. Yeah. So Code Blue, because we are such a small team. I mean, we started up as a startup and we are still a startup. You know, we don't have tons of investments coming in to build a huge team. So there's just me as the editor. We have two health writers and one sub-editor. So there's just the four of us. So yes, we focus exclusively on healthcare issues and policies, not just in Malaysia, but also around the world. I mean, we keep track of what's happening around the world related to COVID, especially since that's what everyone's talking about now. Because we focus on health, we didn't want to replicate the coverage in other mainstream sites. So like I said, when Code Blue was set up, there was, of course, some health coverage in other newspapers, in other media outlets, but they weren't very focused or very comprehensive. So I was very determined to make Code Blue a source of not just the latest healthcare issues and policies, but also to explain to people complicated health issues in a way that they understand. So, you know, we explain jargon and we explain what is it that thing, we explain what really is happening. So when there are press conferences or when there are press reports, for example, the daily COVID press reports and the daily cases and all that, I don't see it valuable to replicate that on the site because people can just easily go directly to the Health Director General's website, right? But we tell you what the statistics mean, what isn't being explicitly said by the government, and we tell you what is it that's behind those numbers.
Right. Azra, what about Galen Center? Give us a sense, because in some ways your flagship portal is now maybe raced ahead in terms of visibility and reputation than your center itself. I mean, help us understand where Galen Center is coming from and how that feedback into sort of editorial thinking at Code Blue.
Well, for one thing, they're editorially independent.
Okay.
So, you know, I also I send my complaints to them too. You know, like I would put out press release and they don't even cover it.
If it's newsworthy, we cover it.
Or even to get comments, I would get calls from other media asking for my comments on a particular issue. They never do, you know. So there is a distinct separation between the Galen Center and Code Blue. If it is that Code Blue is growing in leaps and bounds in terms of reputation and also branding and presence, we're happy that is happening, because the function of Code Blue, of Galen Center, is very much one that is working behind the scenes and one that is working on advocacy at the policy level, engagement with different stakeholders, and working with patients and individuals in the health sector to make a change and difference through what is very often closed-door meetings. Right. And
but because of
and so
that
forth.
Engagement, Azrul, does that does it make it difficult, particularly when Code Blue publishes an exposé or an op-ed piece that condemns the current pandemic management? And I'm sure Gallen Center, with all your advocacy work and engagement, needs to have a good relationship with the medical fraternity, particularly those in government. How does that jive?
Well, definitely, for one thing, I don't think Code Blue is going to be condemning anyone anytime soon when it comes to the management of the epidemic. But when it does come to the issue of being critical, we're very much supportive of whatever angle that's going for, especially if you remember the hospital Sultana Aminah case, you know, where you had the fires in Johor, and that there was a certain direction there that needed a certain expose, as it were. And we're happy that that's happening. We do feel a little bit of the heat simply because we are, as you know, for all intents and purposes, the publisher of Code Blue, and therefore needing to explain, you know, what is our relationship, but also what kind of degree of separation that we have, so that we can do the work that we need to do and to engage the necessary people, because it does become a problem, though. I will not discount that. It does create some potential problem, but that happened at the beginning. But today we're at a place where people see very clearly the separation that we have.
There's been enough time.
And there's a lot of respect.
Okay, but I do want to just squeeze in this last comment, which is there something generative and productive about the relationship between Code Blue and Gallen Center? Because Gallen Center is an advocacy group, and it clearly will have positions. And I remember this emerging in our discussions about a mix of public and private sector involvement in any kind of campaign, including the one over the pandemic. And that's about political values too. So, you know, Sulin, what are the kind of productive relationships, conversations do you have with Gallen Center?
Well, I think we play quite complementary roles. So I see the Gallen as playing more of a behind the scenes advocacy, because sometimes you do need that. You don't have to be so public all the time, but a lot of times also sometimes you do need to be public about it. You can't just work behind the scenes and hope that you get the policies that you want if you're not courageous enough, or if you don't dare to publicly voice your dissatisfaction with whatever issues, right? So when it comes to those issues, so there are some groups, there are different groups across the board that will come to the Gallen Center with issues, and then Azra and I will discuss those issues.
Do you ever disagree?
Oh yeah.
On issues on certain issues. Okay, right.
Yeah. So he tells me what's going on, and then for Code Blue, then I see if it's worth something that's worth following up on. Mm. So if people want to go public with those issues that you're facing, then we can go ahead and write up what it is that they want. If they don't want to, if they still want to work behind the scenes, that's fine too. But at least now the option is there. People know that they have a platform from which to speak out about different health issues that affect them.
Okay, all right, we're going to take a quick break, but we will be back with more, continuing this conversation with the Gallen Center and Code Blue in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned to Consider This.